Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Welcome, welcome. We're not using the normal top of the hour open, not on Fife Dog Day in the city of Oakland. What a nice little thing that the city of Oakland did to remember the passing of a Fife Dog. It is Fife Dog Day, which means we're going to be playing some Tribe throughout today's show. We've got my man Guru hanging out with us today. We're halfway through the show. We're taking you to 7 o'clock tonight. Yeah, but we aren't pausing for anything. We are motoring right through this. Man, it is really, really good to have you here today. The Warriors last night were for 42 minutes and unbelievable for the other six. I mean, they really were phenomenal when they needed to be. And it was a cup of coffee. It was a lukewarm cup of coffee right up until it was 108-100 Blazers. 4.5 to play. Warriors defense forces 6 straight missed shots. They hold Portland to going just 1-for-9 from the floor the rest of the way. And boom, they end up with a win while Andre Iguodala adds another notch to his highlight reel belt. I fade out the Tribe Called Quest, and I don't fade it back up, and that's why it didn't work. And here's Andre Iguodala. Just pretend I'm tossing as smoothly as I first tried to.
Exactly 10 seconds remaining. Lillard catches it midcourt. Iguodala in front of him. Lillard with the dribble. Comes hard left side. Tries to hold off Iguodala. Stripped and stolen. Andre stolen. He stole it. Steph Curry throws it up at the horn. It doesn't matter. The game's over. Andre Iguodala with the best hands in the business has given the Warriors game 2.
I mean it. He's got the fastest hands in the West. What Andre Iguodala does has to be filed under what Steph Curry should never do. Because anytime Steph sticks a hand out, it's a foul. Anytime Andre Iguodala sticks a hand out, it's usually a turnover and a fast break going in another direction. The guy is a magician.
You know, he is. And I want to ask you this. You gave us the time of the game and how Portland was up 8. The fact that the Rockets were the boogeyman and people all year long, Daryl Morey, hey, we're coming for him. Do you think now that the Blazers are Casper the Ghost to the Warriors and they don't have the appropriate fear, and like the great Bull teams of the past, they used to get so bored that they could come back from a 12-point lead with 5 minutes left? And I'm wondering, is that what we saw last night, to where the Warriors, oh, Blazers, that's cute, you guys are up, but we'll run you down, we'll suffocate you. And I'm just wondering, I think tomorrow night will let me know if that's what it really is, D. And there's no shame in that. But Portland, I'm like, oh, what's wrong with Dame? What's wrong with CJ? At the end of the day, Damon, they're better than the Warriors are better, man for man. They don't have an Iguodala. They don't have a Draymond. So why am I up here like, are people saying, well, I'm one of them, Portland failed? I think the Warriors were just, they don't have the fear because they know they can get it done.
What matchup favors the Portland Trailblazers?
I'm waiting.
What matchup favors the Portland Trailblazers? The strength of the Portland Trailblazers is simply the second best backcourt in the NBA. Mm. Unfortunately for them, they're up against the first best backcourt in the NBA. I mean, that's the thing. Even their strength is diminished when you put it next to what the Golden State Warriors have. So, I mean, they're up against it. Maybe they catch a game up in Portland. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they did. I got respect for what they do. That's a team that plays hard, and we have seen the Warriors take their eye off the prize enough times to assume there is a chance that it could happen.
And the Clippers got 2 games.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, that was a rough first round series. The Clippers, you talk about Harold and Lou Williams. I got to give them respect. That was a real series. I was like, what's going on here? And they were body punching. They got Harold in the middle in that pick and roll. They were body punching the Warriors to where we weren't talking about Draymond being defensive player of the year. We were like, what's going on with the Warriors down low?
Somebody's like, hey, Dubcon 3 is back. I mean, I don't know about that. It wasn't the third quarter where they were back last night.
Oh, no, they were.
They did erase that 17-point hole, but then it went right back to 11. It really did. I mean, it was – they're just so good.
CJ had a kill shot to me that would have put the Warriors – I mean, the Blazers up 10.
He did.
I mean, it was their best possession when you talk about ball movement wide open and clank. You can't clank it, D, if you're trying to beat the champs.
Draymond Green, God bless him. Well, everybody in the world is waxing all poetic about the fact that you got two brothers in Steph Curry and Seth Curry out there playing against each other. And look, it's a fabulous story. There's no doubt. It's got to be a source of pride in any family that's ever been through anything like this, and very few families have ever been through anything like this. It's incredible. But Draymond finally said what I've been dying to hear.
As a brother, I got a big brother. You compete your entire life. And to be on this stage, it don't get much better than this. Me on the outside looking in, I really don't give a damn. You know, I hope Seth miss every shot and get destroyed by Steph. So, yeah, he had too good of a game tonight for my liking, but he was definitely amazing.
I mean, I love the fact that Draymond is, you know, the big Russian standing over Apollo, you know, saying if he dies, he dies.
I will break you.
Yes, that's what I want. That's why he's Draymond Green, and that's why.
I feel
why...
like I know Draymond. Like, have you known a Draymond? You may be Draymond yourself to your other friends, but I just feel like I know that dude. He fights to the end, and even if you're bigger or better, he ain't going to give it to you. You gotta take it and earn it. You know what I mean?
My dad had an expression that I think fits Draymond perfectly.
Give it to me.
That guy is my kind of a-hole.
Wow, there you go.
You know,
no, that's it.
A-holes come in all sorts of different colors and flavors, but
Larry
guy,
Bird was one of those.
Yeah, absolutely. That guy, that's my kind of a-hole right there. You hate to go to war against him. If we're going to war, I want him in
Gary
my
Payton
trench.
Was one of those.
Every single time I want a guy like Draymond. 5 blocks last night. He's out there throwing it down at the 3-point line like his name was Zion in a college game. He was electric. He nearly triple-doubled. He had 5 blocks last night. I mean, anything.
Deflections.
Anything you want him, anything you need, the chances of him doing it are very, very good if it's the postseason.
He's a bad man.
He truly is. 888-957-9570. Your phone calls are welcome throughout the rest of the show. A little bit later on in the hour, Chris Broussard is going to be joining us. We're looking forward to that. Right now, I got John in San Jose. Hello, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just want to say, first of all, perfect confluence of events. I ate at Ike's today, introduced a friend, and I had the Damon Bruce, the only sandwich I get at Ike's.
Uh-oh. Awesome.
To you, DB.
That's fantastic. By the way, can I just share a little good news for my friend Ike? He's been so successful with his chain of restaurants. He just opened up one in Austin, Texas. You can get the Damon Bruce in Austin, Texas. The Damon Bruce is now available in 5
what
states.
What kind of cheese?
Provolone, baby.
Ooh, no, okay.
We ain't messing around.
No, but I did want to address me and my daughter Marley were rolling home, and you guys are talking about bitter Mark Jackson and the redundancy that's Mark Jackson. Mr. Mama, there goes that man. Everyone's that man. But I wanted to talk about the last game. It was how everyone had to play better. The refs, they had to play better. Dame Lillard had to play better. Everyone had to play better. You know what? Mark Jackson
wow.
play better and get more runs.
Wow.
John,
tip
your cap on the way out. Look, Doris would do so much better describing the action than Mark does. I mean, like I don't understand it. I mean, she has proven herself time and time again is interesting a person to talk sports with. This
Drake took her.
They
went to dinner.
I would love to go to dinner with Doris Burke.
Drake did.
Look at it this way. Hey, Damon, you get to go to dinner with one of two people, Mark Jackson or Doris Burke.
Oh,
who are you going to dinner with?
Doris.
Hell yeah, I'm going to dinner with Doris. This is Sierra in San Leandro. Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
First time calling in, but listen to you all the time. You've gotten me through a lot of traffic. I appreciate you. And you really made my day as an educator for shouting out teachers. Thank you. And Doris is amazing. You are so right. Give her her rightful place. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Get home safe on this
beautiful
Friday.
What a happy person. Bobby McFerrin.
That's what the show does.
Yeah.
Handing out bouquets for people to smile. Damon, you seem to forget that that idiot Green cost you a title with his stupidity.
Go ahead, because...
And then you seem to forget that they came back next year thanks to his phone calls, got Kevin Durant, came back, and ruined basketball as the rest of the world knew it. Like, what Draymond Green... Whatever Draymond Green tooketh away, he is more than given back.
Okay.
I mean, God.
I love Day-Day as much as the next person. I know it's Barber, Brownie Blend. Shout out. Who cares?
Nice. You got a lot, by the way, speaking of barbers, you got a lot of wave in your hair.
Yeah, I just got a haircut yesterday.
Looking
shout
good.
Out to Marky D, DNR Barbershop. I'm feeling good, D. But anyway, I ain't going to go straight home today. Anyway. D, what else is going to say? Come on. Oh, if Green had been... And I love you, Day-Day, if you're listening. He got a pass for that title mishap that caused him to play three more games. Or do you say, are you on the side of the street? Oh, well, they had to play three more games, and game seven, the other guys didn't show up, and Draymond was special. I think had we been in Philadelphia, New York, as great as Dre is, people would not forget that this team could be going for four in a row. It's real, D. I mean, there were three games after, but that changed everything.
There's definitely a story to be told forever. To frame what happened correctly, we need to explain some things. Draymond Green isn't a player who you just present matter-of-factly. You have to tell a little bit of a story. And he hasn't been perfect. But my God, don't let very good out of your sight because you were waiting for perfect. And this guy is the epitome of everything you want on a champion. And I tell you, it took Draymond's mistake to maybe take a title away.
Mm.
The day Draymond puts on another Warriors uniform, that's the day I know that this dynasty is over. They're not going to win a title without Draymond Green.
I
don't think Golden State, and this is going forward. How about this? Time machine going backwards. You have one example of me being wrong. Time machine going forwards. We don't know yet. I don't think the Warriors are ever going to win an NBA title without Draymond Green on the roster.
And I believe a lot of people would side with you on that, and I'm one of them. I'm just saying, and you're focused on the past. Come on. I'll never get over that. That's all that I'm saying, Damon. And Kevin Durant would probably be in town.
I think Harrison.
And some people say it was worth the loss to get Kevin Durant.
Harrison Barnes had as much to do with losing as anyone else. Andrew Bogut's injury had as much to do with losing.
And Iggy was hurt. You're going to give me Iggy was hurt, too, in that series that nobody talked. All right.
Steph was coming off being hurt. I mean, we're not making excuses over
here. Yeah, he couldn't shake, the Kevin Love.
I mean, all you got to do is, like, you know, nut tap LeBron, and, you know, he's on the phone with Adam Silver. He's like, let me tell you about my grundle. It's important to the league. Got to protect
my grundle. They FedEx that video. Well, you ain't got to do that now.
Speaking of grundles, do you realize that there's a guy on the St. Louis Blues whose last name is Bozak?
There's no way.
I swear to God. 888-957-9570. This is J.C. Lowe in San Francisco. J.C.
Yo, thank you guys for taking my call.
What do you got?
Seeing that, you know, when the playoffs first started, we was only going like 6 or 7 deep, right? Seeing how good the bench has been playing, and when we reintegrate KD and he's back to playing 4 minutes, do you guys think we're going to still go this deep in the bench, seeing how well they played? And another thing, going forward in these crunch time situations, when KD does come back in the finals, what do you guys think our go-to should be? Do you think that we should go KD, go get a bucket when we really need one? Or should we go with that Draymond Steph pick and roll that's been killing lately?
We need to see what the defense looks like to answer that
question. Or who's hot that day.
Exactly. There is no permanent plan that we never deviate from. The Warriors can beat you 20 different ways. Mm. How do you want it tonight? What do we have to do to give it to you tonight? The Warriors spend the first half kind of feeling it out the fight, and then they start really taking their punches in the second half. That's pretty much been the formula that they've used throughout the entire Steve Kerr era. They feel it out, or they jump. They either come down and jump out your throat, jump down your throat, or they're feeling it out and then they come and jump down your throat after halftime. The Warriors are going to play the game that's in front of them. They're not going to take a game plan from the game that they just won, say, oh, well, that was a road to success. Let's take it again. They'll find the path to success as it reveals itself to them. And that's the brilliance of this team. Their scheme dynamic. Now, that's a football term. Like, oh, this running back.
He's like that.
Very scheme dynamic. He can play out of the shotgun. You can line him up. You can split him out.
That's my new arm talent. I'm going to use that one.
Run out of the pro. Yeah. Scheme dynamic. But the Warriors are so scheme dynamic. Would you like to be beat in the fast break? All right, that's cool. They can do that. Would you like to be shot out of the gym? All right, that's cool. They can do that. You want to slow it down, grab and grind, and play, you know, ugly basketball? Muck up a game? Cool, they can do that. I mean, like, how do you want it? So, as we go forward, since your original question was about the bench and matchups and how it all happens, there's no doubt in my mind that the bench you're seeing perform now is the bench that Steve Kerr is going to hope to tap into the rest of the way. He might not need it against Portland as much as he's going to need it in the next round.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Let me tell you, both Toronto and Milwaukee are going to throw one superstar and the concept of depth at you. That's what they got. The Warriors got three superstars and not as deep.
And it's working against Portland. Yeah,
both of those teams got a superstar and are pretty damn deep.
No doubt. Both of those teams are scary. And this is, you know, once they get past Portland, I'm being proactive. That's when I start looking at the calendar. As great as Steph is, it's not about individuals. It's about the team. How's Durant doing? And Damon, I don't want to be negative Nancy on this Friday. There's something about you and I were both in the building and saw that injury. And now all of a sudden it's about to be four games. You know, football players get this injury and they're done for a month. And again, I just got a feeling he might not be back anytime soon.
Well, that's what Ramona Shelbourne of ESPN was suggesting yesterday.
Rick Bucher, too.
Yeah, that this is not a, you know, close your eyes, right, make a wish, count to three, and boom, he's back.
Oh, great.
So, and really, the Portland Trailblazers in the Western Conference Finals might feel a little anticlimactic, and unless they all of a sudden morph into another team up in Portland, it probably is going to be anticlimactic. It's a blessing in disguise. Thank God. The Houston Rockets are in the rearview mirror.
And it's their own fault.
And then the Warriors can use this series to get through it, not feel rushed in any way, shape, or form to bring Kevin Durant back. And look, I mean, would you be surprised to hear that, all right, Durant's close, but to just be sure, they're going to hold him out of game one at the NBA Finals. I think, of course, they do that.
Yeah, and that could be enough for you to give the advantage to whoever you're playing.
Head coach Steve Kerr.
He's doing well. You know, he's in the training room every day. He's around the guys. He's actually recovering well. He's doing well with his rehab. What did I say last night? That it was a little more serious than we thought. The right way to put it would be with a calf injury, there's kind of a wide range of how long a guy's going to be out. And so he's had them in the past where he was out a week or 10 days. There's a big range of how long it could be, depending on how he responds and how bad the strain is. So this one is taking a little bit longer than the ones he's had in the past, but that's okay. He's coming along well, and if he continues to improve at the rate he's improving now, we're confident that he'll be back. We just don't know when.
All right. Confident he's back in the postseason, just don't know when. And I don't even know if I really all the way believe that. I mean, I think Steve is saying what he needs to say. Here's what makes – the only thing I'm worried about is that the Warriors have not told us what grade of strain it is. They've used the word mild to describe that.
Is that not
But they have not assigned an actual number to it. And that number usually comes with a – not mandatory, but usually assumed out time, wait time. They haven't told us that.
And last I checked, Steve is no doctor. So when Steve says it's more serious than we thought, is that the doctor saying that, or is that y'all saying that? Because y'all said proceed with caution. We're going to get the MRI, and all that good stuff. Now you're saying it's more serious. I'm just wondering who's saying it's more serious, because there's no way there's no number next to this strain if that's what it is. Right. And that's just me being human, man. No, four games he's missed.
Look, information is either put in front of you and you determine, hey, this information is important, or information is sometimes withheld from you.
Okay.
And you have to determine that. Okay. That information might be important, which is why they aren't giving it to us. This is Joel Santa Rosa. What's going on, Joel?
What's up, man? What's up, Guru? What's up?
What's up, baby?
Hey, it's actually Jules, J-U-L-E-S, the French translation of Julius. I just wanted to ask both of you, who do you think the best point guard of all time right now is? Because I think Steph is right now, but I think he's pretty close to Magic. And also, I just wanted to shout both of you out. I'm always listening to both of you during my breaks. I'm also an educator. Shout out to both of you. My girlfriend actually graduated from Logan. Love your show. Love you guys. Shout out. Go Warriors.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. And Jules, you could have just said Jules, like from Pulp Fiction. We would have been all over it.
One of the greatest movies ever made.
Come on now. Thank you very much. And, yeah, when it comes to, you know, Guru's gripe about teachers not making a living wage, who could argue with that? How could you seriously stand up and argue, you know, these teachers?
Right.
Way too fat on their high horse. God.
You weren't expecting that one, huh?
No, I like it, man.
All right, but it's real.
So here's the thing. You want to know the difference between me and you?
Give it to me.
You've had your kids, and I'm about to. I haven't looked at the world through this prism yet.
Oh, no, it's coming. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's coming.
I didn't try to clean up my act, do you? Still got some way to go.
How's it going?
Work in progress.
Nice, yeah. Nice. Speaking of work in progress, where are you going to be working tomorrow?
Oh, at Alamo at the 24-Hour Fitness reopening. It's the re-grand opening. So we'll be giving away Dubs gear from 10 to 12 p.m. I'll be out there with the promo team. And it'll be lots of fun, pictures, gifts, all the good stuff.
Come and meet you?
And the promo team.
Win Dub gear?
Yeah, look at you.
You're signing autographs?
No autographs.
Flat objects only?
Just representing the station. And listeners do come out and say, hello, man, that's the best part about this job is, hey, you said this or that. That's like awesome. Do you know what I'm doing right now, right?
What? No, what are you doing?
No,
right now?
You keep talking.
Oh, well, his thumbs are at work. Something's happening.
I was supposed to throw out an address. I didn't have it.
Oh, no, get your address. Get the address, and I'm going to say hello to Sid in San Francisco. What's going on, Sid?
Hey, guys. Can you guys hear me?
Gotcha.
Awesome. Yeah, I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to Guru. I've only heard him with Steinmetz in the morning, and he's really negative, so I don't think Guru gets a chance to shine. So I just wanted to give a shout-out. That's all I'm calling for. I love you, Guru.
Love you, Guru.
That's my guy, Steiny.
Well, you know what, Sid? You better get out Steiny to this address.
We got it.
Here it is.
10 to 12 p.m., and it is at 140 A Alamo Plaza in Alamo. Get hooked up with Dubs gear and all the smiles and festivities.
Let's say the man sitting across from me right now has inspired you to maybe pick up a little Blue Chew. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to eat like three or four of them and then go out to meet you tomorrow.
I'll do that.
Everyone just show up pointing at you.
Sharks play tonight.
Thank you very much for the call, Sid. This is George from the jungle.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I'm hearing a lot of people talking about Draymond blowing up this past week. And I'm thinking if KD doesn't come back, he can't make it. And we continue to play at this pace, and Draymond keeps filling all the crevices. Do you think we'll get any play for Draymond for MVP in the finals if they win?
Yeah. I mean, how about this, George? We have a perfect example. If you go back to the first championship, Andre Iguodala wasn't named NBA Finals MVP because of his scoring acumen. It's because he took LeBron James and he put him in a box and pretty much kept him there in every important moment of that series. If Draymond Green has an outlier defensive series where, you know, we're talking, you know, at the end of each game, we're talking about, man, he just did an unbelievable job on Kawhi, or man, he just did an unbelievable job on Giannis. And that is the main talking point, not a Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson point total. He could absolutely be in the running. Defense doesn't carry much weight in the NBA's regular season. And then all of a sudden it turns into gold in the postseason and people value it again. So, yes, it could happen.
But let's put the right on the table. the fact that the great Steph Curry, who I got up there, I would take him over Magic Johnson. And you could say, oh, you're being a prisoner of the moment, D. I go Michael Jordan, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Tom Brady. On the biggest stage, Tim Duncan, finals MVPs. Now, Steph may not be thinking like I'm thinking, but the people are out there, and I want him to get that trophy. So Draymond would have to be so out of his mind to supersede whatever Steph did, because that's the elephant in the room. Steph, I know he wants it. They won't say it. His mom and dad want it for him. And he should have got it last year. And I love KD because KD was trying to give him the ball so he could get it. But, Damon, I'm talking all-time great with Steph. He needs that.
You know,
and are you looking at me like, come on, Guru, that's selfish?
No, I'm not looking at you like you're selfish. I just think the priorities are out of whack. And I don't think Steph Curry thinks that he needs anything with the letters MVP on them.
You don't find it odd?
Ever, ever again. You know who needs that? Nick Wright needs that. Nick Wright needs another example of how good he is because he wasn't paying attention enough the whole time. Steph doesn't need another accolade attached to him. And when it comes to, like, who's your number one point guard of all time? Well, what kind of basketball team would you like to run? Would you like a shoot-first point guard? Then, yeah, it's Steph. Right. Would you like a pass-first point guard? Then it's probably Magic. Would you like a little bit of a jack-of-all-trades do anything? You couldn't go wrong with John Stockton. Believe me that.
I want one that gets better. The numbers fluctuate up in the playoffs. Jordan did. Tom Brady's did. Steph's, they don't go down, but that's what people think. So I need that finals MVP to show you that it's not just, you know what I'm saying, D? And I love you, Steph.
Curry's last 10 quarters of basketball is all you need to know about him right there. Doesn't need to win a single thing. Doesn't need anything else.
It's done.
He scored a combined 106 points from the tip-off of Game 6, second half in Houston, through Game 2 in Portland. 106 points. He's barely played the fourth quarter in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals as well. So that's really 100 points in 9 quarters. He is 36-5-5. In the Western Conference Final. No, he's 36-5-5. Last round, he's 37-8-8 this time around. I mean, it's just insane. No, excuse me. Those are games 1 and game 2. Thank you very much. I mean,
he's balling. I'm giving you that, D. I want it for him. There you go. Get a life. You got kids. I want it for him.
I'd like it for him, and I'd like it to just see the idiots shut up once and for all. I mean, I really would. How about this? It would be really nice to have a basketball conversation where someone wasn't running into the room to tell you about what you didn't just see. Hey, I really think that the Golden State Warriors are one of the best teams of all time. Oh, but wait, but wait, but wait. Okay. Steph Curry isn't this, and Kevin Durant isn't that, and the one game that they did blow, and the one thing.
That's interesting.
It's just enough. I mean, here's the real thing to say about the Golden State Warriors. The only correct thing to say is, oh, my God, they're about as impressive as the day is long, and any other review is incorrect. They've been unbelievable, one of the greatest teams ever assembled in your lifetime if you happen to be living right now. And I don't care if you were born today or you're going to die later today. If your lifetime included today, the Golden State Warriors are one of the greatest teams of your lifetime. Chris Broussard of FS1 right around the corner. This is Elena Matzorkis. Hello, Greek Fest Week. What a good time to have a Matzorkis among us.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Back here on 95.7 The Game, a fantastic Friday outside. I got Daryl the Guru Johnson with me here on 95.7 The Game. And we got Chris Broussard, who is a Fox Sports NBA analyst on FS1. You can see him on Undisputed with Skip and Shannon. You can hear him on The Herd with Colin. He's all over the place. He's on your radio. He's The Odd Couple with Rob Parker. And it's really good to have him back on here. Chris, thanks so much for joining us today, man. How you doing?
Come on, great, man. It's always great to be on.
Andre Iguodala, fastest hands in the West.
Well, Lillard would say he had a little something extra other than speed working for him. But, no, great play by Iguodala. And, you know, I felt like last night the Warriors did enough just to win. I don't feel like they were worried when they were down 17, 15. And I feel like when they wanted to turn it on, they did. They did it twice in the third quarter and then later in the game in the fourth. And whether it is cockiness or the complacency that's kind of dogged them all year, or it's pacing themselves because they know KD is not there, whatever the case, they took over when they needed to and did what they had to do to win. And I think that's how they look at it, too.
Look, it's pretty hard to steal a game on your own court, but that's exactly what the Warriors did last night. They stole one at Oracle. It looked like Portland had it under control, but they just never blinked. And I tell you, since Durant went down, Chris, Steph Curry has never blinked. He has put together three games that I think all of them go into the Steph Curry time capsule when we sit down to tell our kids about him someday. Like, this guy has really thrown it into the level that champions throw it into when they're up against it.
No, I agree. Look, I've said it. It's been out there. We've been robbed. And Kevin Durant, I wasn't mad at him when he went to Golden State. I understood why he did it. He loved the way they played. And he is their best player, like all around for sure. He's fantastic. He's arguably the best player in the world at this point. But having him there, there's no doubt. You guys see it on a nightly basis. It's taken away from Steph's game. Now, Steph's still been great with Durant, but this Steph, the old Steph, the unanimous MVP Steph, the Steph that people were saying could be a top 10 player of all time, we weren't seeing that just because it was unnecessary because you had Durant there. But now it's necessary again. And what amazes me is how he's been able to, in the blink of an eye, go back to that MVP form he showed in 2016. And over the last 3 years, we've seen it here and there, but now you're seeing it throughout the entire game, and it is must-see TV. Even when they have Durant, and we can argue about whether they're better or not with him. One thing's for sure, they're not as fun to watch when Durant's there, precisely because you don't get a steady diet of this dynamic Steph Curry.
Chris, I was telling Damon, fans are so fickle, and you are 100% correct when you're talking about Steph Curry. And the reason I say that is Durant, before he got injured, Chris, you know it, you saw it, he got just ultra hot. And people started, I don't want to say doubt Steph, but he kind of took a back seat. And my question to you is, and I'm hoping this is not, you know, what happens, if Kevin Durant can't come back, do you think Steph Curry has anything to prove to you? Because to me, he doesn't have anything to prove, but there are a sector of fans that kind of want to give Steph another, you know, another test to see if he can do it without Kevin Durant. And I think that's false.
It's like regular season MVPs aren't enough. He needs to be a finals MVP.
I've seen enough, Chris. David, no, I've seen enough.
You're absolutely right. I agree with you. He doesn't have anything to prove to me, but he does have something to prove to a ton of people. You know, Rob Parker's my partner on the iCouple, and he's constantly bringing up the lack of finals MVPs, which to me is not a big deal. Look, it's nice to have them, but that's not the big deal. With James Worthy wasn't the best Laker when he was a finals MVP. Cedric Maxwell wasn't the best Celtic when he was a finals MVP and Bird's first title. Iguodala wasn't the best Warrior when he was a finals MVP. So it's not a big deal to me, but you're right. To a lot of people out there, Steph needs to, if KD doesn't come back, lead this team to the championship and be the finals MVP. I've always thought it was overstated, this whole narrative that Steph falls off in the playoffs. What? In two of the 4 years of, you know, of this dynasty in the postseason, not including this year, he has raised his scoring average from the regular season into the playoffs. Even the year when Iguodala was MVP and people said Steph wasn't as good in those finals, Steph averaged 28 points in the last three games, 6 rebounds and 5 assists, or it might be vice versa, on 49% shooting. And he only averaged 23 points that regular season in being the MVP. So for whatever reason, people are very hard on him and they're looking for reasons not to give him his props. And so, yeah, even though I don't feel it, you don't feel it, there are a lot of people out there that need to see him once and for all lead his team to a championship, get the finals MVP to justify his greatness.
Right. I mean, because the first one, the first one didn't count because they don't want it to. I mean, it really, yeah, I love it, Chris. This is really Nick Wright's fault, don't you think? Chris Broussard, FS1 here on 95.7 The Game. You know, there's been an awful lot of talk about how Draymond Green is an ultimate 16-game player. I don't know if he's a max player over an 82-game regular season, but he's a max player for the Golden State Warriors. Another team, I don't know if he fits that bill. This team, I think he fits it perfectly. When I say Draymond Green max, what do you think?
Well, I agree, and I think Draymond understands that, too, that if he goes somewhere else, he's not going to be what he is here.
He's en route
to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And so I think he understands that. However, he's got, what, 3 rings? If he gets another one, will he feel like it? Now, I think his ultimate desire is to remain with the Warriors, but with the max deal. And if they get 4 rings and the Warriors lowball him in his mind and someone else gives him the max, like especially a contender gives him the max, the Lakers give him the max, then I could see him taking it and feeling disrespected. And here's the thing. He signed with Clutch, which is Rich Paul and, you know, Rich Paul's group, and they represent LeBron James. The thing about Rich Paul as an agent is he tends to try to get every last dime. So I agree. I don't think Draymond is a max guy. But if they are asking for the max and pushing for the max and get other teams, i.e. the Lakers, to offer him the max, then I think Golden State's either going to have to match it or give the max or – watch Draymond go elsewhere, and that's something I don't think they can afford to do. Like, if I'm the Warriors, and we think KD's leaving, we all believe that, they have got to bring back both Klay and Draymond. And if it means maxing them, then I think you have to max them. You can't go into that new arena, like, on the downside.
Exactly.
You know, if Klay's not here. Because they won't, as even though Klay and Steph are the top two guys, they need Draymond. Especially when KD's gone, they are not the same without Draymond. So if it comes to it, I think you got to match both of them.
Chris, the great Meek Mill had a verse. There's levels to this, and I'm using that to greatness in the NBA. And I was in the arena last night, and CJ and Dame seemed to be on the threshold to that next tier. And that was the game they should have brought home to me. And I want to ask you, did your opinion of them change the fact that they couldn't will their team to that win last night? Because both of them, to me, came up, you know, short in the crunch time.
Well, I think you hit it on the head. There's levels to this. Damian Lillard has always been, you know, that perennial all-star level. And CJ, even though he hasn't been an all-star, has been there right on the cuff. Like, you view him as an all-star caliber player. Dame went to another level, in my mind and in most people's minds, when he destroyed Russell Westbrook in that first round. But honestly, since then, he's almost showing you, like, No, I'm not on that next level. I'm not on that Harden, Steph, Durant, Kawhi level. I'm a notch below. And it's not only losing, because I expect, look, Golden State's better, but you got to play great if you lose. And Dame hasn't been the same. Dame has shot 24% in Game 7 against Denver and Game 1 against Golden State. I don't remember exactly what he shot last night, but he obviously hasn't looked great. And then, you know, even against Denver throughout the series, he really wasn't. He hasn't been that OKC Dame. So, yeah, he's kind of getting exposed that while still great, he's not on the level of Steph and those of that ilk. And CJ and Dame have both alternated. One of them has a great game, the other one, so-so. The next night, the other one has a great game, the other is so-so. If they want to have a chance to get a couple games in this series, then they both need to play great in the same game.
Chris Broussard here on 95.7 The Game. And let's wrap up with this, because we know that Zion is targeted to New Orleans. And there's no coming off of that. He's not going backwards back to college.
The talk that he was going to go back to, that's irresponsible.
Exactly.
And it was disrespectful. I mean, what? What? Yeah. Like, why?
Exactly.
We acted like New Orleans is playing in New Zealand or something like that. Come on.
Right? So here's the one question I haven't heard or really anybody brought up. Was Anthony Davis's That's All Folks t-shirt his real final statement to that organization? Has the situation, has the talent level in New Orleans, has the perception of New Orleans possibly changed enough to where Anthony Davis isn't necessarily looking to leave?
Nah, he's out of there.
Done.
He's out of there. I've talked to people, you know, close to this situation.
Okay.
Immediately after they won the lottery, and they said there's zero chance that he changes his mind.
Okay.
This is about a big market. That's it. Like, when he asked for the trade, they talked about the talent level and actually the talent level wasn't that bad. It was the same team minus Rajon Rondo that swept Portland and got to the second round last year. And then they talked about the organization isn't, you know, well run and all that. And now you got a very good GM in David Griffin running it. So neither of those answers is legit now. It is about market. And the only two markets that Anthony Davis will definitely tell, yes, I will re-sign with you long term, are the New York Knicks and the Los Angeles Lakers. And so I actually believe he's going to wind up in New York. I think the Knicks, obviously they have the third pick. Who is that? R.J. Barrett. R.J. Barrett, Zion Williamson's best friend, roommate at Duke. I mean, by the way, both of them are great players, potential superstars in the NBA. If I'm New Orleans, yeah, I'm going to try to get another player with it, you know, another few players and some draft picks along with it. But if I'm looking at a future with R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson, not to mention the other guys I already have, like Jrue Holiday, I'm like, okay, this is how we rebuild. And so I think – and they don't want to send him to the Lakers. I'm not saying they definitely will not under any circumstances, but if they can get a comparable deal for a team with a team in the East, then I think that's where he's going. Now, let me throw this last caveat in. A lot of this could depend on what Kawhi Leonard does as well.
Right.
Because if Kawhi Leonard stays in Toronto, and I don't think he will, but let's say he does, then other teams could be emboldened where even though Anthony Davis is telling them, I'm not staying long term, they will say, well, Paul George stayed in Oklahoma City, Kawhi Leonard stayed in Toronto, we can take a chance that we'll be able to keep him here. So it's going to be interesting, but my bet would be New York.
Always good talking basketball with Chris Broussard, and I got a little breaking news. Shams is just tweeting, and this is really something else, that Pacers free agent Tyreek Evans has been dismissed and disqualified from the league for violating terms of the NBA-NBPA anti-drug program.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. Disqualified from the league?
Yes. I mean, that's not...
I've never heard that one.
Yeah,
that's something serious.
Yeah, exactly. That
he must have had multiple violations.
That's not a blunt.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
And even if it's more, you usually get a few, you know, before you get the quote-unquote death penalty, and I don't know if that's exactly what this is with disqualified, but wow.
That's interesting.
Damn. Well, there's a little something for us to chase here. Hey, always great to talk to you, Chris. Thank you so much for joining us. I know how busy you are this time of year, man. You're the best.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Thanks.
I mean, this league just keeps on giving. I mean, it's the playoffs. We got a playoff game on right now. And all of a sudden, Tyreek Evans, what did you...
Who was about to get paid?
What did you do? What did you do, Tyreek
Disqualified.
Evans? More from the story now coming up on ESPN.com. The NBA has announced that guard Tyreke Evans has been dismissed and disqualified from the league for violating terms of the NBA National Players Association anti-drug program. Under the program, he is eligible to apply for reinstatement in 2 years. So it's not a death penalty, but he was 29 years old.
And had a good season, D.
Coming off of a very good year where he was getting 10 and 3 and 2.5 a night in about 20 minutes per game with the Indiana Pacers. Wow.
So he must have been in the program.
Clearly. Among players who have been banned under the policy, most recently O.J. Mayo and Chris Anderson. And in the past, I mean, you got some of the all-time drug, you know, NBA druggies. I mean, right, Michael Ray Richardson, Roy Tarpley.
Wow.
Yeah, Dwayne Washington, Stanley Roberts. I mean, that's straight up. That's you know, that's El Coco Loco all over them. So, what did he do? What did they catch him doing?
Like horse tranquilizer or something? Like, man, that's heavy.
Wow. All right.
And he cost himself some loot.
He did,
or
man.
Cheddar, or whatever the kids say.
Here's a crazy thing: the worst thing you could do to a guy who clearly needs some help is just like, oh, so your entire support system. Goodbye.
You're going Alden Smith on me.
Exactly.
I never. Oh, you can't be around.
Yeah.
When you need it most.
Yeah. The leaving, you know, what is it? You know, with the devil's play thing, idle hands, that sort of thing. Tyreke Evans, 2 years, nothing but regret going on here. I don't know what he did.
Darkness, home alone.
I'll tell you, man. Let's go back to that. Oh, so by the way, this Sunday, special for two reasons. Special for three reasons.
What we got?
This Sunday, 10 years ago this Sunday, the Warriors were in the lottery that got them Steph Curry. That draft class, by the way, is the draft class that Tyreke Evans was named Rookie of the Year in.
Sacramento.
So that year's Rookie of the Year just got a 2-year ban.
And never really blossomed to be what, you know.
Ricky Rubio, Johnny Flynn.
There you go.
I mean, those are three picks that clearly now didn't work out. Blake went number one overall that year. Look, he got a max deal. He's a good player, but, I mean, my God, he
does commercials.
Does commercials. Did a Kardashian. You know, but yeah, that's no big deal. Wow. What a turn of events. Jeez.
You think it'll come out by the next time I see you on Monday?
Yeah, you can't hide. Well,
you can't hide. You right? Can't, there you go.
You can't hide salacious secrets in 2019.
Not nowadays.
No.
Right.
No, somebody's going to come up with the dirt for sure. Man, that's something else. So, excuse me. 10 years ago this Sunday, the lottery that got you Curry. 2 years ago this Sunday was my second birthday. 2 years ago. Today, I was in a hospital waiting to recover from a stroke, doing occupational and physical therapy, and May 19th was the day that I now have circled forever as my second birthday. May 19th was the day that I stared at in that calendar in my hospital room.
Wow, D.
Every single day, thinking, that's the day I can go home and start getting back to normal. That's the day I can start getting back to the radio. That's the day I can start getting back to being who I am. And so now, I have two birthdays, March 25th, the actual day,
okay,
and May 19th.
You're a Pisces.
I'm Aries.
Oh, excuse me.
Aries. So if
this, I was thinking of my parents, they're early March, February, right. Into February, yes. March, they're Pisces.
Yes.
And I didn't know Aries.
Aries, right at the end of the month. But what is your sign?
Taurus the Bull.
See, now I need
same
to know
as
that.
Malcolm X has the same birthday as I do.
Because guess what? My symbolic birthday? Is your birthday.
That's a wow, D. I ain't going to forget that.
How about that?
Yeah.
My symbolic birthday is your actual birthday and Malcolm X.
And I don't want to rain on your second birthday,
what?
But who
Spencer
has a birthday
intern?
On Sunday?
Spencer the intern.
Where?
That guy right there.
Wow.
Spencer the
That's
intern,
wow.
May 19th. Are you serious, Spencer?
The Taurus the Bull.
Wow.
Elena says, over, we get it.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So pretty, oh, wait, no, wait. Oh, no, March 25th is your
yeah,
birthday.
Yeah, his birthday is your real birthday.
Oh. Well, you're March 25th.
Doesn't quite fit the segment as nicely as I hoped it to. But either
way. I thought we had three.
Still impressive. There you go. Yeah. Now I'm actually happy we gave you the internship. The jury was out, Spencer, but now congratulations.
He's in.
Welcome to the family. It took a while. It took four shows, but you're in now. There's no getting out. 888-957-9570 is the number. When we come on back, we got a couple people on hold here. Boy, you've been really patient. We're coming back to take your calls. We're going to do that next. We've got Dieter Kurtenbaugh joining us coming up about 10 minutes after we start the hour. So don't you go anywhere. A lot still to come in our fourth and final hour today on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.